So tonight we're actually going to be talking about this passage right here, this section of the Bible, and the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Colossians, he's given them some pretty interesting instructions. And I actually titled the message tonight, Clean It Up, because that's basically the instruction that he's given them, and by extension, us tonight. So since we're talking about cleaning, right? How many of you guys like to have a clean house? Hey, I like a clean house, right? Okay, a clean house, it's so inviting. It's so nice when you go to somebody's house and it's clean, and it just makes you feel good, right? How many of you guys actually like to clean your house, though? Yeah, okay, we got a couple of people raising their hands, right? Yeah, you clean freaks, you drive me nuts, right? I love a clean house, but I'll tell you what, the actual process of cleaning the house, not really something I really like to do. I know it needs to be done, right? So we'll get down and we'll get our elbows dirty and stuff and get it done, but it's not really one of my favorite things. Now, trash day, right? At my house, tomorrow's trash day. So tonight after we get home, we got to make sure we get all the trash, everything put together right, and get it out on the curb so those guys that come by in the truck, they can do their job, all right? And that's part of cleaning. So cleaning takes effort. And even after you clean your counters and your floors and you sweep up and you get everything straightened up, you're not totally done because you got to put down some kind of disinfectant, right? Before the job is really fully done, before your home is really clean, you gotta apply something that will get rid of the stuff that you can't even see, right? Now, spiritually, it's kind of that way, right? We, as God's kids, we've been transformed. We've been saved. We have His Holy Spirit living inside of us. But there are still things within us that may need work. And cleaning up, it does take work, right? Some people may say, hey, that's just the way I am. I got news for you. That's not the way that God wants to leave you, right? So cleaning up, it can be difficult. It does take work. And It is important that we actually do it, though. It is important that we make the effort to do it, to allow God to make the changes in us that are necessary. You know why? The scripture tells us that your body's not your own. You're actually the temple of the Holy Spirit because He lives inside of you, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19, it tells us that. Now, our text tonight, it actually begins chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 5. And verse 5 starts with a word that is very interesting and very important, and that word is therefore. Now, y'all have been taught. See, I'm acting like a Texan right now. I just said y'all. Anyway. Y'all have been taught very well in this church. So, what do you do when you see the word therefore? You find out what it's there for, right? You find out. I love it. Hey, we got it. We got an A. This side got an A, right? You guys too. You know, B++. Anyway, you find out what it's there for. So it's that key word that lets us know that there's a transition, but that we've got to actually look at what came before so that we have the context, so that we really know what the author, what is speaking about. So let's go ahead and jump all the way back up to chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll read these first four verses. And it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So the context of this whole passage that we're going to be looking at, verses 5 all the way up to verse 14, and even beyond, is this new life that we have in Jesus, right? That you are dead to your past, and that you're to put to death the person that you once were. And the only person really who can create that change in you is you, with the help of the Holy Spirit. I mean, God has transformed you, but you have to be in agreement with Him. When He gives you that little nudge and He tells you, hey, this thing is something that I'm not pleased with. I want you to work on that. You have to be in agreement with Him. And you have to say, yes, Lord, I agree with you. I'm going to work on that. And with your help and by your power, I will overcome that. You can't do it in your own strength, right? You can't do it if you don't have Jesus. You can't do it if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Christ, we can do what? All things. Because He strengthens us, right? So the first section here, right, is actually we're looking at sexual sin. All right? These are all somehow associated with sexual sin. And He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Okay, so you died. You have been changed. You're transformed. You're a new person, right? Because you're in Christ Jesus. And because of that, there's some death that needs to take place. There's some killing that needs to take place. And it has to do with stuff that is not pleasing to the Lord. Okay, what's the very first thing, right? It says, put to death your members which are on earth. And the very first thing is fornication. All right? What is fornication? Fornication is basically, in a nutshell, it's any immoral sexual act. It doesn't matter if it's homosexual, if it's heterosexual, if it's premarital, right? It is any sexual act that isn't where it needs to be, which is in the confines of marriage between a man and a woman, right? That's fornication. And it's right at the top of the list. He's like, all right, let's start with a biggie, right? Now, you guys got to realize that Colossians, the people of Colossians, Colossae, right? There was kind of a melting pot. There was a lot going on there. There were a lot of people. There was a lot of movement. It was a commerce city. There were a lot of people that were coming in and out, to and fro, sailors and stuff like that. And there were a lot of different ideas. And there were temples there that had to do with worship of Ashtaroth, right? And so there was a lot of even sexual sin that was mixed in with the worship system in that city. And Paul is dealing with that, right? Now, there's nothing new under the sun. Even right here in our town, there's a lot of people that come, a lot of people that go. There's a lot of different ideas. And the reality is our society as a whole is pretty infatuated with sex, right? So it's really nothing new. It happens. So Paul here, he's warning the Colossians and every generation of believers after them, including us right here tonight in Calvary Chapel, that, hey, this is something you got to watch out for. This is something you can't practice. This is something that's going to knock you down if you're doing it. So put it to death. Put it to death. And then the second thing that we see here on this list is uncleanness. All right, so going through the same theme, uncleanness, it has to do with imagination. So maybe you're not out actually doing the act, right? But if you're letting your imagination run wild, it's not something that is good for you either. You know, there's like Maybe at work, people around the water cooler talk about things that aren't edifying to you or to I as believers, as people who are kids of the King, who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just hang out and let your mind go into the gutter in that kind of situation. You need to take steps to get to remove yourself from that situation, or to let people know that you don't appreciate that kind of banter, right? Uncleanness. So what's next? Passion, okay? Now, this is not like passion between a man and his wife, you know, natural, healthy passion. This is uncontrolled, out of control lust, right? So it's like letting that imagination go wild and letting this passion build up in you that wants to go after things that are not healthy for you. They're not healthy for any of us, right? So the next thing on this list, right? It is evil desire. Evil desire. So it's that fantasy to do something that you should not. You know, David, King David in the Bible, he was a man after God's own heart. He was beloved by God. I love David, and I love reading about him and looking at his life. And one of the reasons that I love the Bible and I love seeing the reality of, or the history of things that happen, is because of the honesty. The honesty that we see even in people that have been called by the Lord to walk with Him. And David definitely was. I mean, he was a psalmist, a sweet psalmist. He was a man of war, and he was a man who at times followed his passions. So, y'all remember in 2 Samuel chapter 11, right? You know where I'm going with this, I think, right? It was in the time of the year when kings go off to war, but you know, David, he was, you know, feeling comfortable, he was feeling confident, and he stayed home. He let his guys go off to war and he stayed home, and so he wasn't actually busy doing what he should have been doing. And he saw this beautiful woman. And he looked at this beautiful woman. And, you know, him actually being up on the top of the roof and seeing this beautiful woman, that wasn't a sin, because he couldn't not see her. But what happened after, that definitely was. It was like he gazed. He hung out there, right? He was like, whoa, hey, this one's a beauty. And then we all know what happened, right? He even though he was warned that this is your servant's wife, he still called her. He still was with her. And it ended up in murder, adultery, and the child that was formed because of that adultery dying. I mean, there was a lot of sad stuff that happened just because of an evil desire. You know, it became even covetousness. And that's the next item on our list right here. So what is it? What is covetousness? Man, I'm having trouble saying that word tonight. It's when you covet, right? But what is it? What is it really? It really is idolatry, is it not? Because that's when you're putting something that you desire above the Lord. It's anything that we put above the Lord, and that's idolatry. So it's my desires, right? And that's what happened with him. He was putting his desires above what he knew the Lord wanted. in that moment, in that weakness, he gave in to it. And there were consequences. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, there can be consequences for us too. When we give in to these things. When we don't follow the instructions of the Lord and kick it out and put it to death and get rid of it with extreme prejudice. And that's the solution. The solution that we see to these things, to not giving in to this sexual sin, to these desires, is to put them to death. Another way to say it is to put it off, right? And he continues, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So because you once walked in them, because you once were just like everybody else, right? Those sons of disobedience, but you're not there anymore. You've been changed. You've been bought by the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you've been bought by the price of that precious blood and you've been transformed because of your faith in him, you got to put to death that stuff that's not pleasing to him. I've got to put to death in my life that stuff that's not pleasing to him. We, corporately, as his church, we got to kick it out. We got to get rid of it. But now, you yourself are to put off these things. That's verse 8. So we're getting into the put off. Now, on Sunday, actually, Pastor Bill, right at the end of his message, he kind of made reference to this theme, right? In Ephesians, it's putting off and putting on. And I thought on Sunday, I knew that this was the text that I was going to use. It's actually a different text. It's in Colossians. But I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to get a new text. But then I thought, no, you know what? That's just confirmation, right? The Holy Spirit, he's already warming us up so that we could actually be ready for this message. So he says, put it off, right? You're to put off all these things. And then he goes into this next section, which are actually social sins, right? So we had sexual sin, now we're looking at social sin, right? Things that happen socially between one another, right? There's a lot of one another texts in the Bible, and it's all talking about our relationship, you know, especially among us. Those of us that are kids of the King, we've got to treat one another well. And we've got to put these things off, right? Just like we're to put to death the stuff that is carnal, that makes us carnally minded, right? We've got to put off the stuff that hurts our brothers and our sisters. So the first thing on this list is anger. Anger. Okay, so I know. You're thinking, but the Bible says, but be angry and do not sin. Okay, and that's true. And it also says, don't let the sun set on your wrath. Okay, so you're right. There is a place for righteous anger, but that's not what we're talking about here. Okay, what we're talking about here is a habitual habit or attitude, right? Something that you're always getting angry. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life because your anger is just coming through. My wife, back when we lived in Panama, it was like every time we went to the immigration office, I would get mad. Right? Because I was trying to get my residency there. I was working as a missionary. I'm serving as a pastor. But every time we went to the immigration office, I mean, it was like 4 hours. And I was just like, I would get frustrated with these people. And it was like, she was like, you haven't been praying enough. Hey, tomorrow we're going to the immigration office. You need to go pray. Because it was like, you know, it's just that evidence that we're allowing the flesh to reign and to rule rather than the Spirit. So we got to put that stuff off, right? Put off anger. Don't let it be a habitual attitude. Don't let it be something that you're known for. The other day, my wife, I had a birthday this past week, right? November 4th, that's my birthday, right? So anyway, one of my old friends from back in New Mexico, he was making a note because he saw that it was my birthday or whatever, and he says, "Hey, I saw this guy, I picked him up, and he was a big guy just smiling, and he's like, it reminded me of my old buddy Kendall," right? So I don't even know why I said that. Where was I going with that? Anyway, it's about being known for something, right? I'm really glad that he remembers me as just somebody that would smile a lot. And yet, those people at the immigration office, I think they probably remembered a guy that was just angry, right? And just not, that's, you know, it's like, oh, man. So, letting the Lord rule and reign in our lives. Getting rid of stuff. Putting off the things that are not pleasant to Him. Anger. What's next? Wrath. Ooh, wrath. Okay. So what's wrath? It's like when you blow up. When you're just, you know, at the drop of a pen, the drop of a hat, you're like, you're exploding. And the anger and just nobody even wants to be around you, right? That's not something that we want to be known for. That's not something that we want to have in our lives. We want to put that off. So we got anger, wrath, and then malice. Now, malice is that genuine feeling of ill will towards someone. You want to be known for that? I don't. And the whole reason that I don't, and the whole reason that I know you don't, is because that doesn't reflect the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Right? And then what's next? Right? After malice, it's blasphemy. Now this blasphemy, okay, when we hear blasphemy, the first thing that we think of is speaking against God. Right? But in this case, because we're talking about socially, we're talking about one another, this type of blasphemy is more like speaking against someone else. Maybe a better translation would have been gossip, right? So it's just speaking poorly about someone else. You know, we in the church, we shouldn't do that. That shouldn't be our modus operandi. We shouldn't be known for that. And sometimes we kind of cover up the gossip, you know, by sharing prayer requests. Right? And if it's a legitimate prayer request, and if you're really praying for somebody, that's awesome. Praise God, because we need prayer warriors. But if it's just some way to tell somebody else something else that's going on with somebody else, it's like, you know what? Just keep it to yourself. Right? We don't need to be talking about one another. We don't need to be causing division. We shouldn't be about that, ladies and gentlemen. We should be about what the Lord is about. And that's building bridges, and that's building one another up. That's edifying. It's bringing people together. It's allowing Him to do His work, right? And then filthy language. So again, back at that water cooler, right? You've got coarse jokes. You got, you know, things that are being said, and maybe there's like foul language and stuff that's being utilized, and people of the world do it all the time, and we know it, right? But we shouldn't be marked by that. We got to put that stuff off. And if it's something that you practiced when you were a non-believer, you know what? You know the Lord doesn't want you to work like, to operate like that anymore. I got a friend back in Oregon, my bud Jeff, right? He came down and visited us a couple times on short-term mission trips when we were serving down in Panama, and brought teams with him. And one time we were sharing our testimonies, right? And he was talking to me about how before he was a believer, he spoke like a sailor. And I'll be honest with you, so did I. I mean, that was just the way I spoke. It was potty mouth, big time. And he told me, you know, he had been a believer about 6 months, and the Lord had been doing this work inside him, right, changing him and transforming him, and that included the way that he spoke, right? And he said he was out in his front yard cutting his grass, and there was this one tree that had a low-hanging limb, all right? And he's, you know, focused, pushing his lawnmower, cutting the grass. And you can just picture it, right? And all of a sudden, boom, his head hits this low limb. And he looks at it, and he's like, "You tree?" And he's like thinking, he's like, "Is that the best you got?" He's like, "Man, like 6 months ago, this thing would have been, you know, burning with all the foul language that would have been coming out of my mouth." The transformation had taken place, right? He was in agreement with the Lord, putting off the stuff that wasn't pleasing to him, including that filthy language. And then the last thing that we see here, it says, filthy language out of your mouth. And in verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, right? So, who is the father of all lies? Man, the devil. We definitely don't want to be associated with that type of behavior. I mean, I want to be associated with my dad, my heavenly father. He is all truth, right? I don't think we can ever be more like the Lord than when we're telling the truth in love. And on the flip side of that, I don't think we're ever more like the devil than when we're spouting off some lie. Right? We definitely don't want that to be us. I don't want that to be me. And I know you don't want that to be you. So it says, he says here, Paul says, hey, you've put off this old man. You know why? Because of these first four verses that we read. Because Jesus Christ did an amazing work in you, and he has transformed you, and he's made you into who you are now, a new man, a new woman, a new creation in Christ. So just be in agreement with him. Kick all this old junk out. Put it off, right? You know, I grew up in the country. I grew up on a farm. And there were times on the farm, out on the old dirt bank, you know, where there was a water tank over there, and there would be skunks. And I remember as a kid, sometimes one of us would be out there too close, right? And you know what happens when you get too close to a skunk? You get sprayed. Whew. Anybody ever, I mean, you know. Just get it on your car tire. Like, how long does it take just to get it off your car tire, right? Anybody ever run over a skunk on accident? I mean, how hard is it? Like, we try super, we do amazing feats, you know? Like, we do NASCAR moves when you see a skunk because you don't want to hit it, right? Because it's like, it's going to mess up my car, right? All right. So just imagine little Kendall, right? Little guy with this skunk stuff on his clothes. What do you want to do with those clothes? You want to get rid of them. You don't want to just take them off, right? You want to get rid of them. And you want to get something new on, something fresh on, right? After you get a good bath. Well, that's what he's telling us right here. We got to get rid of this stuff, this junk, just like it's an old, nasty pair of clothes that some skunk has sprayed on you. All right? Am I late? I am late. Man, I got like a half a message here still. All right, we're going to speed it up. So this next section is all about the changing of clothes, right? It's about putting on the new clothes, verses 9 through 11. Verse 10 through 11, he says, and put on the new man. So verse 9 says, put off that old man, right, with his deeds. And verse 10 says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, right? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, nor barbarian, nor Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on that new man, right? Get rid of the old, put on the new. It's a total new change of clothes, right? All the old junk is gone. All the new stuff is there. So he says, therefore, we're back to that therefore, right? Why? Because of all this other stuff, right? Because you put off the old man, because you're putting on the new man. He says, as the elect of God, right? You're the elect. You have been set apart. You have been called by God to be what? What does set apart mean? It means to be holy, right? Set apart for God. It's you're different. You've been called out, right? You're the ecclesia. You're the called out ones. You've been called out of the world to be transformed, to be renewed, to be changed into the image of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So, not only that, you're beloved. So you're loved by God. You're holy. That means you're set apart. You're elect. That means God has chosen you. You're beloved. That means God loves you. And he's doing a work in you. And because of all that, you need to put on, just like you put off all that other stuff, you need to put on tender mercies, right? Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was filled with compassion. He also said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, right? And I know on 8:20, sometimes it's hard to practice mercy, right? When they're merging onto the highway and you have to slam on your brakes to let them on, right? I know that sometimes it's hard, but it's something that we've got to do. And kindness, okay? So we go from tender mercy, we go to kindness. And, you know, I use King David as a negative example, but I'm going to use him real quick as a positive example as well. You guys remember Mephibosheth, right? And how Jonathan's son, back in 2 Samuel chapter 9, how David was looking for some way to bless the previous king's household, and he brought Mephibosheth to his house, and he says, hey, I know that you just be here with me, because I want to bless you. And he showed him mercy. You know, most kings in that day, they would kill the offspring of their adversary. But he was kind, and he showed him mercy. And then kindness, and then there's humility, right? And humility, we need to put on this humility, because this is actually, it's to have a correct concept of yourself, all right? It's not having this haughty spirit. It's understanding that, you know, in Christ I can do all things, but without Christ I can do nothing. Then there's meekness. That's the next thing on our list right here. So meekness, it's power under control. You know, Moses, it's written that he was the meekest man ever. Now, he wrote that, of course, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So he could write it in truth, right? But it is, it's power under control. You guys, you gals, you people here, you have power. All the power that you need, and it's under control. The Holy Spirit has given you what you need to be able to put off the old junk and to put on the good stuff. To get rid of the smelly, nasty rags and to put on the clean clothes. How cool is that? I mean, it's just amazing. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is being long-tempered, right? Not having that short fuse. We talked about having that short fuse, right? And then long-suffering is just like the opposite of that. It's not having that short fuse. It's being able to hear those insults and not just blow up. James, you know, he says that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And then it says bearing with one another. So bearing one another's burdens, holding one another up, making sure that we're building one another up, right? And sometimes there are people that you love that you don't necessarily like. You love them because the Lord has told you to. But maybe they're a brother or a sister in Christ. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, rubbing elbows with that person is just not that easy. Sometimes those social relationships, you know, it can be difficult. But we're called to bear with one another, to love one another. And forgiving one another. And ultimately, it says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, the word says that love covers a multitude of sins. And I know it's true. If we practice these things and we practice loving one another and we practice putting off the old stuff and putting on the new stuff, the things that the Lord has shown us and what he has talked about with us tonight, I know that we are going to get stronger, that we will be edified, that we will edify one another, and we're just going to grow. And I don't know what you want, but I know what I want for me, and I know what I want for you. And I want you to be edified, and I want you to grow, and I want to see the Holy Spirit working in your life, utilizing each one of you to the max, because he's got an amazing plan for each one of us. We just got to listen to him and walk with him and let him do his thing, and we're going to find ourselves doing all kinds of amazing things. I know it's true. I've seen it happen. May it happen in each one of your lives. Man, what an awesome word. The Lord is good. Thank the Lord that I was able to just hang out here with you guys tonight. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. And Jesse, let's go ahead and sing to the Lord here in just a sec. Hey, hey. He's like, he told me I had to sing. And I'm like, man, you want everybody to run out of the building like really fast? He's got to come up and sing. Father God, thank you so much for your word, for the way that you speak to us, the way that you love us, and you expect us to love not only you, but one another. Thank you that your love is the glue that holds us together. It's what bonds us together. It's what allows us to be able to do these things that you desire for us to do. I ask you, Lord, to utilize your word that was spoken tonight to transform lives. Do your will. Work in us and work through us. We love you and we praise you. We pray all this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.